Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله عقائد عالم نور مجسم شاہ آدم و بنی آدم اور بلاور نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم has said that a person who sends 50 times درود or salutations or salawat upon me, I will shake hand with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ma qadarullaha haqqa qadrihi idh qalu ma anzalallahu ala basharin min shayh. صدق اللہ العظیم وصدق رسوله النبی الکریم الامین. I will translate this verse and then I will give the background of this word, and inshallah our topic would be around this آیہ کریمہ. اللہ عز و جل says they did not value Allah as was the haqq of Allah to be valued. Idh qalu, when they said. So this refers to an incident. When did they not value Allah? Idh qalu, when they said. Ma anzalallahu ala basharin min shay'in. Allah has not sent anything on any human being. So when they said this, Allah has not sent anything upon any human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this statement, and this statement was made by the Jewish scholars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have not valued Allah because they made this statement. The background of this verse is that when the Jews saw the growth of Islam, and when they saw that the very powerful Makkans, Mushrikeen of Makkah, they becoming weaker and weaker day by day, and Islam is growing. So they had a meeting, and the Jews suggested to the mushriks that we could not defeat the founder of Islam through power. We always used power, but we could not defeat him. Now we must fight him with him with knowledge. That means we must debate with him. Now there was a Jewish scholar who was called Hibrul Ahbar. Hibr means big scholar. As in our Islamic terminology, we say Allama. Allama means very knowledgeable. So the terminology of Hibr was used for the Jewish scholars who were very knowledgeable. But he was not called as Hibr, he was called Hibrul Ahbar. Means he is the biggest scholar of all the big scholars. Can you understand what was his worth in his society, in his community? His name was Malik bin Saif. So they all went to him after the Mushrikeen and the Jews, they had a meeting and they decided to defeat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through knowledge, because through power they failed. Now they must prove him wrong with proofs, with arguments. So they decided who must be contact. So the person that came in mind, in everybody's mind, that was Hibrul Ahbar, Malik ibn Saif, with sword. They went to him. And very arrogantly, he said, I used to tell you that you cannot fight knowledge with sword. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always brings knowledge in front of you and you want to fight with him with sword. This is what always was happening. That's why you are not winning. Had you come to me in the past, meaning previously, I would have debated with him and destroyed him. The job would have been done long ago. I would have proven him wrong with my debate. But you didn't come to me. You decided, no, we're going to fight with him with the sword. So they started apologizing to this Hibr Ahbar. He said, sorry, you know, we made a mistake. We realize now that you can't fight knowledge with sword. You can fight knowledge with knowledge. So after realization, we have come to you. So please help us. But this scholar, Hibrul Ahbar, Malik bin Saif, he was very fat, like a fat donkey. It's used, the words the scholars have used, he was mithl khar, like a donkey, very fat, like a donkey, but very knowledgeable. So he goes with the crowd of the Jews. So they said, this is our big alim, he will debate with you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed him and told him, are you here to debate? He said, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, did you read Torah? He said, yes, I'm a scholar of Torah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, did you read this ayat in Torah? He said, which ayat? Rasulullah ﷺ read the ayat of Torah. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْغِدُ الْحِبْرَ السَّمِينَ. You know what it means? It means that Allah Azza wa Jal does not like the fat scholar. Imagine he's that person who's fat like donkey. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did you read this ayat in Torah? He said, yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that what's mentioned in Torah is you. Because all these Jewish scholars, they used to take bribery. You know, from the people, and they would change ayat and verses. They would change the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were famous in that. So their earning was mostly haram. So if a scholar is naturally fat or maybe, you know, big structure, we're not talking about that person. Somebody must not, you know, take a hint from here that any scholar that he sees is fat, they must think that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like him. Now, this is not what we are saying. These are those who eat haram and eat a lot, and then they become fat. So that's the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Scholars actually should try to be very smart. And this is my advice, because there are a lot of scholars sitting here, a lot of students sitting here who are going to be scholars in future, inshallah. So try to look smart. When you see you're gaining too much weight, so lose some weight. So people must not say that's a fat Maulana. There's wisdom behind it. So, no, it's a verse in the Torah. Inna Allah yabghidul hibras sameem, al hibras sameem. Allah Ta'ala does not like the fat scholar. But detail I have given you what it really means. The fat that who eats haram and who doesn't care about his rozi, and his interest is more to serve his nafs. So when Rasulullah told them that you are that fat scholar, you are that Hibrus Sameen. Now he's meeting first time with Rasulullah. How Rasulullah knows that this guy doesn't fast and he doesn't do any ibadat. But what Rasulullah was telling him was truth, so he couldn't deny. He's a fat, he eats haram. And Rasulullah said that you are that person. And always you just want to eat more and more. And that was his habit. Every way he went, people invited him. You know, people invite scholars, but he was always attacking food. So Rasulullah told him that habit as well. That you are the person that wants to eat more and more wherever you go. So he got very angry. Of course he would get angry. He went to debate and defeat Rasulullah. Rasulullah defeated him with one shot. And so he got angry, he got no dalil left. So what he said, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ بَشَرٍ مِّن شَيْءٍ. In anger he said, Allah has never sent anything upon human being. What he tried to say, he said, you are human being and Allah has never sent anything upon any human being. So by saying this, he denied his own religion, because Allah Ta'ala sent Torah on Musa alayhi salam. So when he said that, then all the Jews, they got shocked and they got so angry. And they told them, then, let's go, we can't debate. And when they came out, they all started cursing him. What's wrong with you? You are so foolish. You made us, you know, embarrassed. How could you say that? You denied your own Judaism, Yahudiyat. You said Allah has never sent anything upon any human being. But Allah Ta'ala sent Torah on Musa alayhi salam. So in order to deny the virtue and the greatness of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you used such a sentence that you denied the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal upon Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. You are so useless. They got angry with him and they fired him from that position. And they appointed Ka'b bin Ashraf. See, they used to have this system that one big scholar, they will appoint him as Sardar, as chief, as head. And then he will make all the decisions, he will give them interpretations of the book. And when they want to change something, they could only go to him, not to anybody, because he is the man of authority. Like in today's time, you know, muftis can also be bribed. You know, the person that gives a bigger donation, they want to give fatwa in his favor. Or they feel they can, you know, get something out of him. Then their opinion is in their favor. And sometimes it's so clear. Even the judges do in the court. Not only. So any person in that kind of power where decisions are need to be made on his opinion, then at that time many people, you know, see who will be more favorable for them, towards them. At that time they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They become the bondsmen of human being, no more bondsmen of Allah azza wa jalla. So this was the Jewish nature. So if any Muslim, any Mufti, any judge adopts this habit, then he's just like these Jews. He has not learned the Muslim values, Islamic values. Hazrat Qazi Sharif rahmatullah ta'ala alayh gave verdict against Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala while he was Khalifa of the time. There was a matter in which the case came to Hazrat Qazi Sharif rahmatullah ta'ala. He said, no, Hazrat Ali is wrong and the other person is right. That's a Muslim value. And when it comes to judge and decide who's right and who's wrong, then you don't see, you know, with whom I'm connected, who's my friend, who's close to me, to whom I know from so many years, then people make decisions on these lines. Then they leave the haq part. Not just muftis or judges or scholars, even ordinary people. When there's a situation where they have to choose one, then they forget about to try to know who's right and who's wrong. Then they say, no, I'm more connected with this one. I know this person more longer than this person. Then they choose that, even if they are wrong. But all these things will be then judged and decided on the day of judgment. Here in this dunya, if we stay with the truth, no matter if my father or my brother or my teacher went wrong, I must be able to say that he is wrong. I'm not standing with him. I'm not supporting him. I'm a Muslim. Muslims is the one who submits to the will of Allah. My heart, my soul, my body, my mind, everything is submitted to the will of Allah, to the deen of Allah. I'll never support my brother. I'll never support my teacher. I'll never support my peer. I'll never support my father if they are wrong. If they have made a blunder and did something or said something against the fundamentals of Islam and established beliefs of Islam. That should be the mindset of a Muslim. But it's very hard. When time comes like this, no, we know this person. He's our friend. He's so close to us. We know him from so many years. Then the whole support goes towards that direction. So there's a lesson in this ayah kareem. You are not giving words to Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings the truth to you, who teaches the truth to you. He sent the truth to you via his anbiya. And then you end up choosing friendship, relationship, connection. So In all these situations, you have not valued Allah. This is the message of the ayat which I have recited. So the Ka'b bin Ashraf, he was appointed as the new Sardar, the new chief of the Jewish community. So they all said to him that you fired, because when you said Allah has not sent anything upon any human being, you denied the Judaism, you denied the Yahudiyat, you denied the Torah. Because Allah has sent the Torah upon Musa alayhi salam. So he was finished, and the debate was finished, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won the debate. Okay, this is the background of this verse which I have recited. Now, we learn few beautiful points from this verse. We learn that Anbiya and heavenly books, if you deny them, you are in actual fact denying the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. You are not showing any qadr, any value, any worth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He sent them. And you say, no, I deny. I don't accept. I don't want to take. So what actually you have done, it's not just the denial of the book. It's the denial of the one who has sent the book. When you deny a Nabi of Allah, it's just not the denial of the Nabi of Allah. You are denying the one who has sent him as a Nabi. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, you have not valued Allah. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabb. Who's He? Rabb. He's not Ab. Ab means Father. And Rabb means the Lord, the Nourisher. You can translate with many different words. Now the Father is responsible to bring you up, your body, physically. What are the needs of your body? That's the Father's responsibility. You need milk, you need powder milk, you need formula milk, you need medicines, you need this, you need clothes, you need food, you need this and that. Whose responsibility is that? It's the Father's responsibility. And then, of course, the mother also plays a big role to bring the child up. So both of them are working very hard. She hardly sleeps. The small children, they get up, you know, over and over, many times. They mess up, they cry, now they're hungry. Now she must go and wash them, change their nappies. For months and months, she doesn't sleep properly. And the fathers, they go out, they look for rizq, they work very hard to make sure that the children are provided. But very sad it is that in today's time, the very same children do not value their parents. They insult them. They shout at them. They break their hearts. They don't listen to them. When they start earning, they hardly give their earning to their parents or share from their earning to their parents. And when they get old, when they are totally dependent, then children want to run away from them. Then they say, no, this brother must look after them. That sister must look after. Then that one must look after. I mean, so many cases we deal with. People are so shameless to talk these things. You know, why? I'm not the only son. That I must look after my mother. The other son is there. The daughter is there. It is not their responsibility that they must also look after. You are so lucky that your mother has chosen you to stay with you. Your mother, your father have chosen you to give you the key of Jannah. And you want to chase them away because you think that I got other siblings and some of them must look after because you want to be just all alone with your wife and with your children. And that old lady, that old man is a burden now. He or she is taking your freedom away. So when you do that, you have not valued Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks so much about the greatness of parents and their huquq and their rights. You know, if you just study that one word, you will be shocked how great hukm our Allah has given us regarding our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't say, ah, this is Quran, this is the kalam of Allah. It's not a fatwa of any alim or mufti or opinion of individual scholar. That's the ultimate deen, ultimate truth. It's Quran, it's the kalam of Allah. On hadith, you can argue whether it is da'if or weak or sahih or of this level or that level. Can you argue on the verses of Quran? Now this is the order of Allah. Don't say, ah. So that means you are totally prohibited. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't say this. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't say this or don't do that, it means it's totally prohibited. You have no permission to do that. If you do that, you are disobedient to Allah. If you do that, you have not valued Allah. Because you feel Allah's order is not worthy of being practiced. That's what it means. He says, don't do it. You say, I'll do it. So did you value Allah? This one word, akh, or any other impression, bodily, body language, or verbally, any other impression that will show that, you know, to parents that you're being difficult, you're being hard on me, leave me alone for a while. You know, don't just keep on pressing on this or on that. Don't just keep on saying over and over. Don't repeat it. They're getting older. When they get older, they're becoming like children. When you were a child, how many times you used to repeat? And they never got angry with you. They answered you with love. They showed you respect. That we love you, you're part of us. You know, there's an incident, there's a story just to educate us. And when old man, old father, he saw a bird, a crow, kawwa, sitting on the tree or on the wall. And he asked his son, what is this? He was actually testing his son. His son said, اسے کرو، یہ کوا ہے. Then again, after a few seconds, he says, what is that, beta? He said, it's a crow. He said, oh, okay. Then when he asked third time, he said, beta, what is this? He said, it's crow. So he kept quiet. Then the father asked again, what is this, beta? He said, what's wrong with you? Just keep on asking, keep on repeating. I told you so many times already. He said, my son, when you were small, I was carrying you. You were in my laps. And there was a crow sitting on the tree on the wall. And you were asking me, what is this? And I was replying to you, this is crow. Then again, what is this? I said, it's crow. You asked me 100 times and I answered you 100 times and I did not get angry even once. But you could not tolerate me even third or fourth time. Got angry and you started shouting at me, showing your anger through your words, body language. Now when this happens, you have not valued Allah. You have not valued Allah the way you should have valued. Maybe you value in a limited way. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. The way he should have been valued, you have not valued that way. And from this verse we learn that to respect and honor Anbiya alayhim as-salam is respecting and honoring Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if one insults them, he insults Allah Azza wa Jalla, because their respect is included in the deen. When you talk about deen of Islam, the respect of Anbiya alayhim as-salam is part of it. That is the reason that if anyone insults even slightly Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is out of the fold of Islam. That's why the scholars have said that if person insults the Na'al Park, the blessed shoe of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is kafir. He's out of the fold of Islam. Because when you want to value Allah, then this azmat and respect and ta'zeem is included in that value. So there's a lesson for everyone that we must always be very respectful when we talk about the beloveds of Allah. That's why our ulama of Ahle Sunnah, they always teach us, be careful what word you use for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can't say, Muhammad said this. You have no way of talking. You're not talking about any Tom, Dick and Harry. You need to show love for him, respect for him when you talk about him. My beloved Nabi said this. So your body, your words must all show that how respectful you are. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat and all his students and all Sunni scholars, they always teach you one thing. Stay with adab. Learn how to speak, what language to use about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I always say that when you are in the qabr, the question that you are asked, which would qualify you whether you're going to hell or you're going to paradise, that is all about the language that you use for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will be based on that. You know this hadith. You have heard it over and over. In the qabr, three questions are asked. You know about that. Mar Rabbuka, Munkar and Nakir, the angels. They come and they ask question, even though they know exactly. But it's a procedure. So somebody mustn't say, I wasn't tested, why I was failed. So everyone must be tested. So the one who fails, it's proven that he fails. So it's a procedure that they follow. Because at many places, one person gives the answer, the angel says, we knew this. So if you knew this, why are you asking? So they're asking because there's a procedure. So they say, Mar Rabbuka, who's your Lord? A believer will say, Rabbi Allah. My Lord is Allah. And the kafir, he'll say, ha. Then people do use the word hayhata, hayhata, la adri. But the word that in hadith I've checked is ha, then alif, then ha, round ha. So if you properly in Arabic pronounce this, this would sound like, because this ha comes from the chest. That, no, ha of two eyes, that's not from the halaq. It's not ha, it's ha. So at the end is also ha. Now if you pronounce properly and then you think what sound it is. Now when the angel asks Mar Rabbuka, the kafir says ha, ha, ha. That means he's already in pain. He's already in trouble. He knows it, that he's being caught. And that painful sound, after producing few times, then he says, La Adri. I don't know. Comes to the second question. Ma Deenoka? Muslim will say, Deeni al-Islam. And the kafir will give the same answer. We're not going to repeat that. A person who says, my deen is Islam, what would you think about him? Is he a Hindu? He's saying, my deen is Islam, my religion is Islam. So what you going to call him? Are you going to say, no, he's Jew? Or he's a Christian? He says, my deen is Islam. You say, no, he's a Christian. Does that make sense? So when he says, my deen is Islam, he told you, I'm a Muslim. So when he said, I'm a Muslim, what is the need for the next question? So many people that have corrupt beliefs, they say, we are Muslims. Okay, in the dunya, nobody judges them, but judgment starts from the qabr. You say you are a Muslim. Now your claim that I'm a Muslim will be put to a test. And it will be then proven whether you are Muslim or not Muslim. So now what's the third question that becomes the criteria? That's all about your way of talking regarding Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Your tongue, your words. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will appear in front and they will say, Ma kunta taqulu fi hadha rajul. What you used to say. Question is not what you say. Question is not, do you recognize him? No. Any person who knows little Arabic and Arabic grammar, kunta taqulu, is a madi istimrari means past continuous tense. What tense it is? Past continuous tense. So the question they're asking, what you used to say, the language that you had about him in the dunya, say it now. So based on that, we will decide whether you are a failure or you are successful. Now, if a person has a habit of saying, he's an ordinary man in the dunya, what you used to say, the whole question is about what you used to say. Because if they ask what you say now, now everybody wants to say the right things. Because now they know they're in trouble. So farishtas, they know their questions perfectly worked out. They're not going to ask what you say now. Because now the curtains are removed. Now everyone knows that everyone's salvation and maghfirah is based on him. Now everyone wants to believe in him. Now everyone wants to respect. They say, no, not now. Tell us what you used to say. If he had a habit of saying, he's an ordinary man, we look at him and say, I used to say he's an ordinary man. If his habit was, what's so special? Human being, he's also human being. Then he'll say, this is what I used to say. If he used to say, he doesn't know what is behind the wall, then this is what he will say. And don't forget that Munkar and Nakira also Ashke Rasool. You think they'll leave him just like that? They'll sort him right there. And the one who used to say, my beloved Nabi. One who used to say, Ya Nabi Salamu Alaika. One who used to say, Mustafa Jani Rahmat Pe Lakho Salam. One who used to say, he's Imam al-Anbiya. He is the beloved of Allah. There's nobody like him. He's be-misl, be-misal. So then that's the language you will use. And based on that, angels will decide, you know, in which category you fit in. And after you give the right answer, they'll say, we knew it. Angels will say, we knew it. This would be your answer. Now the good news for you is, soja. Now, soja. Soja like who? Like king? No. Sleep like queen? No. They say, sleep like a bride. Why bride? There's a reason. You know, when the newly wedded bride comes in the house, do we have a culture? First day we say, go make tea for me. Go. 10 people are coming, guests go make food. Newly wedded, just came in the house, bride. How we treat her? Newly wedded bride, how do we treat her? With a lot of love. Everyone says, this is your own house. Father-in-law gives assurance. Mother-in-law, even though the war will start later, but at this stage, she will say, Beta, this is your house. Take all the keys. Now do what you want to do. Rest, relax. No worry, no sorry, no problem. Sister-in-laws, everyone so happy. An addition to the family. You know? So they all make her sleep peacefully. That's the comparison. When the angels say,
to this person who gave the right answers, sleep like a bride, mean peacefully, nobody will trouble you. On the day of judgment, you will wake up and you will meet your beloved. So, if you didn't learn the language, and trust me, if you are far away from Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, there is nobody who can teach you the language of love and respect. You can, even person says, I'm a Sufi, I'm a peer, I'm this, I'm that, I'm giving wazifas, I'm giving taweez, I'm helping people, I do this, I do that. If that person is not connected with Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, he cannot even teach you one lesson of adab and respect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give tawfiq so we increase our knowledge and stay on the path of Ahl Sunnah, which is explained by Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah. Sallu ala al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say, Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say.